Greetings, this is Brother Steve again with the Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. We are going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 2 this time. If you remember or if you listened to my last meditation, I encourage you to read chapter 2 and look for clues there as to why Jesus needed to be a man in order to be our Savior and redeem us, or to be our ransom, to redeem us back from the enemy. And so we're going to look at a few things here. Chapter 2, I'm going to read the first few verses here, and then I'm going to make some comments as we go. Chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, meaning because of what we read in chapter 1, it says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first was began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Just a little bit of encouragement there to stand fast and not let things slip, to be very careful. For he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Okay, I'm going to go to verse 5 here. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Now here's one little clue, one little reason why Jesus had to be a man. If we go back to the account of creation back in Genesis, we will read there how God created man, and he gave him dominion over all the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the beasts of the field, and over every living creature. He gave the man dominion over it. And so when Adam and Eve sinned, they were enticed by the devil. They were by his cunningness, his craftiness, and he deceived them. He made them believe a lie, and so they sin. And when they sin, they put themselves into bondage to the devil. And with them, because the whole world was given to them, they were given dominion over the whole world. The whole world went into bondage with them as well, into the hands of the enemy, the devil. And so here we see how if they were given dominion, God being a just and a righteous God, you know, God will always play by the rules. God will not, he will not cheat. He will not be unfair. But here, so in order for him to reclaim the whole earth, he had to become a man. He had to meet the devil as a man, so that he could rightfully take possession of the earth, because the earth was given to man to have dominion over it. And so that is one reason that Jesus, in order to reclaim the earth and dominion of it, he had to become a man, and he had to meet the devil as a man so that he could rightfully claim his own. And he says in verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Talking about Jesus and how he has put all things in subjection under him, because he became a man. But then it also says that we see not yet all things put under him, but the time will come when that will be complete, and his dominion will be finalized, and everything will be, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It says, verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Here is another reason that Jesus Christ needed to be a man. In order to be our Redeemer, he needed to be a man, so that he could die, so that he, for the suffering of death. If we go back to Genesis, to the creation, we will see that the penalty for sin was death. Adam and Eve were told that the day that they should eat thereof, they shall surely die. And so the penalty for sin was death, and in order for somebody, for Jesus Christ to be able to pay the penalty of our sin, he must become a man so that he can die and pay our penalty. But he must also be a perfect man. He must be sinless. Otherwise, if he would have sinned, he would have fallen into the same bondage that we were, and there was no way that he could redeem us, because he would have been in the same condition that we are. So he could not set us free. which reminds me of a game we used to play called Prisoner's Base, where we had two teams, and the one team would try to capture the other team's members, and when they were captured, they would line up on their home base, and somebody from their team would come over and try to set them free. But in order for somebody to be able to set some of their own team members free, they had to be of the same team, and they also had to be free themselves. If in the process of trying to free someone else, they were caught, then they too became prisoners and could not be of any help for freeing their own. And so the same way, Jesus Christ, he had to be a free man. Had to be perfect in order for to be able to pay the penalty of our sins and to suffer death for us. And we'll see a little bit more about that here farther on. Verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. There's an interesting little statement there that might kind of boggle our minds a little bit, but it says the captain of their salvation, meaning Jesus, was made perfect through suffering. It says, in bringing many sons to glory, he makes the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So we might believe that Jesus, well, he was perfect. How could he be made perfect? But it says that he was made perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all one, for which causes he is not ashamed to call them brethren. There's another verse further on. We'll get to that some other time, but it's in chapter 5, I think it is. Verse 8, it says, well, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So we see how Jesus, through his suffering, he learned obedience. See verse 11 now. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Meaning, basically, he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified is talking about Jesus and us. He that sanctifies, that meaning Jesus, and they who are sanctified, meaning us as believers or saints. Are made one. Jesus is the head, we are his body, we are made one. And then it says, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, which is an amazing thing to me, is that he's not ashamed to call them brethren. You know, when I look at my own life and we look at just the imperfectness of us as human beings, it's incredible that he is willing to identify with us. And again, he needed to become a man in order to do that. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, where I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Here again it talks about how Jesus, because he was made like us, he was partakers of our flesh and blood, and therefore, through death, he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. So he needed to become a man in order that he could die, and through his death, he could gain victory over the devil, but only because he was sinless. And it says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, meaning us, who he has delivered. And we had been in bondage because of the fear of death, meaning again, that because of that penalty for sin that was given there in the garden when God created Adam and Eve. Afterwards, after they sin, the promise was that they should die the day that they eat thereof, and so they lived their all their lives, and so from their generation on, under the fear of death. But Jesus had delivered us from that fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For verily, verse 16, he took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took on himself the seed of Abraham. Again, he was made like a man. He was of the seed of Abraham, and he was not an angel or a spirit, but he was like us. He became one of us, that he could redeem us and be our ransom. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. He's our high priest. And in order to be our high priest, he had to be one of us. He had to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. And because he was flesh, because he was man, he can feel for us in our temptations. The Bible also says one place that he was tempted in all points, just like us, yet without sin. And so because of that, he can feel for us when we are tempted, and therefore He is a merciful and faithful high priest. For in that, verse 18, in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. There it brings it out how because he also suffered, and how he also was tempted, therefore he can comfort us when we are tempted. And we can look to him, and we can gain courage from that, because he was perfect, though he was also tempted just like we. And may that be a strength to us, or a comfort, that he knows what it feels like, and he went through the pain, all the pain that we feel, he knows all about it. And all the temptations we face, he also faced those. So that's as far as we will go for this time. God bless you, and may you be encouraged, and we will continue the next time.